world's coming to. The Hamilton family's here in the middle. They've moved from the left or the right to the middle. Wow. Oh, wow. What a week. What a week. Are you all right this morning? Amen. Just a few things this morning before we get into the Word. Just wanted to read a text that Megan just sent. Oh, man, I left my phone back in the... Can I have my phone, dear? Sorry. I don't want to be tempted to answer my phone in the middle of the sermon. Was over at the hospital yesterday to see Austin, and I was encouraged, but he's going to have a tough road ahead of him. But let's continue to keep him in our prayers and speak words of healing and life over him. It's amazing. I don't want to be graphic, but I guess he had cut through his hand except for these few tendons and some skin and a few veins. But already he has feeling in all of his fingertips. So it's, yeah. It's amazing to me what the doctors and nurses can do, but even more amazing is the healing power of God. God spoke, and he spoke our bodies and this world into existence, and he's the healer. And if we, you know I'm not a name it, claim it guy, but if we speak God's word over people, I believe God can bring it to pass, and that's what we need to do for Austin. But let me read this text to you real quick that Megan sent this morning. Austin slept a little better last night. I can tell the anesthesia is wearing off because he is much more alert. They are still giving pain medication every 2 hours because he is so uncomfortable. But praise God, he has a hand to be uncomfortable with. He has feeling in every finger, even if it is just a little bit, which is an amazing sign. Austin had an x-ray this morning and will be getting a blood transfusion this afternoon. I'm still trying to get him to eat, so pray he gets a good appetite here soon. As of now, they are saying he will go home tomorrow afternoon. That's if all goes well. Then we will have a long road to therapy. Thank everyone in the church for their prayers. They truly have been felt. And I'm just going to ask to praise our God for what he is going to do in our lives. We love you all. God has given Austin an amazing helpmeet. I just marveled at how Megan did, taking care of him there in the hospital room. Also, I just wanted to mention, too, that Ken Kaufman is home. I saw him on Tuesday on my way to work, and I was demoralized. I mean, Ken was totally out of it. He had just had a stroke, didn't know I was there. And it just threw me for a loop. And then I stopped in on the way back, and he was sitting up in his bed reading his Bible. God is good. He's faithful. Had a scar, big smiley face scar on the side of his head. And he's home now with his family. I spoke to him this morning, and he's doing well. His speech is getting better and better every day. Yeah. And Larry's here this morning. Tim's not with us yet, but he's at home, isn't he? So he's doing better. So let's keep these loved ones in our prayers. It's good to see Ruthella here this morning, too. Keep her in your prayers and her family, and continue to encourage her. Love you, Ruthella. I can see you back there in the corner. All right. This morning, let's get into the Word of God. I want you to know I'm praying this morning that God is able to speak around me this morning, because I have struggled and struggled with this message. I've struggled with the truth of this message since I can remember, ever since I can remember. The word that God gave, I woke up half a dozen times in the night last night, and that word was on my heart and on my mind, the word that God has given me this morning. And that is The apt word promptly given. The apt word promptly given. And I believe the apt word is obviously the Word of God. The Bible has much to say about itself. God has much to say about itself. And one thing that I have learned sort of the hard way is that I don't need to defend the Word of God. The Word of God speaks for itself. I'm amazed, as Ravi Zacharias says so eloquently, how the Bible outlives its pallbearers. All those philosophers who said that the Word of God would never last, it is still living and active today. And so the apt word is the Word of God, but promptly given. What does that mean? What does it mean? Not just quick, not just, you know, always have a word on our mouth and to say it quickly. The Bible is clear. We're to be quick to listen and slow to speak. But I believe that prompt word is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit prompting us for the right timing, for the right word, we're going to do continuous damage in the body of Christ and in our families. I'm amazed at how culture just bombards us with toxic words and toxic thoughts and toxic way of thinking. And I have bought into that from little up. And one of the things that God has been trying to accomplish in my life for many years is to believe what He has spoken over me and about me rather than what the world and destructive influences have spoken into my life. And I believe this is a key teaching for our church. And I'm praying this morning, I'm going to pray right now that God allows His word to land on good soil this morning. And in spite of myself, I'm an imperfect vessel, I'm an imperfect communicator, but I so want this message to land this morning on good soil because I believe it is a word from Almighty God for our people, for our congregation, and for our community. So let's pray. Jesus, we love You this morning. We thank You, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the evidence of Your grace and mercy in Austin and Megan's life. God, thank You that someone was there with him. Lord, I thank You for the evidence of Your grace and mercy in Ken and Queena's life and in Tim and Gail's life and in Ruth Ella's life and in Larry and Eileen's life. God, Your fingerprints are all over us. God, I pray that we would see, Lord, this morning that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We would see that the father of lies, the enemy, the devil, has spoken destruction and death into our lives. But You, Lord, have overcome that. You have redeemed us. You have spoken life and healing and blessing and goodness. And Lord, I pray that we would align our words with Your word. And I pray that we would no more, we would draw a line in the sand and say, no more are we going to believe what the enemy says. We choose to believe this day what You say and what Your word says and what Your Holy Spirit speaks over us and what Your Holy Spirit prays over us. So Lord, help me communicate that this morning in spite of my limitations. I don't want to adulterate Your word. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in Your sight, my God and my Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. Man, it does no good to clean my glasses. I just cry on them again. And I'm Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, having put away falsehood. Church, Eric and Steve, what in the world happened? You ran into a telephone pole? Did they drop one in the middle of the road, or was it off the side of the road? Slightly? Okay, gotcha. Well, I'm glad you guys are all right, and I'm glad you're here this morning. God bless you. Another example of the protection of God. You know, things, we live in a fallen, broken world, and bad things happen. And one of the things that we have to learn as disciples of Jesus, as children of God, things aren't always going to go our way. But God is going to be sufficient and faithful. Man, I'm so, and I'll tell you what, as early as last evening, I was struggling with that. But I'll tell you, the Lord ministered to me last night. He ministered to me last night. And I choose to believe this morning what God says and not what the enemy says. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Now, I believe that term neighbor is all-inclusive, but I believe it applies expressly to the church, to the body of Christ, to our brothers and sisters, to our families. Put away falsehood. Do you understand, church, how the world continually pours falsehood into your life? I don't care where you look, culture and the world pours falsehood into your life. And the Bible says that the enemy is the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning. And it's amazing to me how I buy into the lies of the enemy rather than to believe the truth of God that's been spoken over my life and into my life constantly. You know, one thing that I have found out, and I want to put a plug in here. This is not what the message is about this morning, but I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't put a plug in for his word. If you don't know the word, if the word is not readily on your lips and on your heart, if you've not hid his word in your heart, if you've not spent time meditating and ruminating, if you will, on his word daily, regularly, if that's not your default setting to go to the word of God, then you're going to have a hard time believing it, aren't you? If you don't know it for a certain situation, how will you believe it? So is that our default setting? To go to the Word of God? Is that what we listen to when we fall asleep at night? You know, I've told you many times that one of the ways that God broke a stronghold in my life was me making a conscious effort to every night listen to the Word of God as I fell asleep. And you know, the habits, they're good habits too, aren't there? We can build bad habits, but we can build good habits also. And it's either worship music or scripture is playing at night when I go to sleep. Because I believe that the Word of God, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Does anybody know if that's that word there in Hebrews 4? Is that a rhema or logos? Does anybody know? Do you know the difference? Anyone? In Hebrews 4 there, is that rhema or logos? See, this is sort of the logos, the written word. But this is the logos, the written word, the rhema. Is the word that God speaks into and over our lives, that the Holy Spirit, that prophets speak, that people that love us speak into our lives, that align with the written, the Logos Word of God. But in Ephesians 4, it's the Logos. So that tells me that regardless of whether we're into it or not, when we allow the written Word of God to speak into our lives and permeate our minds and our hearts, it's going to affect us. It's going to affect us because it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So I want to just put a plug in. Man, we all have technology. We all have iPads and iPhones and CD players. Get the Word of God playing in your homes so it gets into your subconscious. So when you think, when a thought comes into your mind, the Word of God is right there to test that thought. Can you do that? Can you make a commitment to do that? Man, if somebody could get me a glass of water, that'd be great. I don't think I want to drink anointing oil this morning. Thank you, Carl. Therefore, having put away falsehood, you know, in Proverbs it says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, I looked in a number of commentaries to find out the significance of apples of gold in a setting of silver, and there's not much to be said about that. But I guess my understanding is that when we speak a word, a word that's appointed by God, an apt word, an appropriate word, a healing word, an encouraging word. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. It's like something that's adorned in gold. Now, I know my wife likes gold. I know women like gold. They like shiny things. So that tells me that when I speak to my wife in a way that's appropriate, that's loving, that's encouraging, and that gets me out of buying her gold or diamonds. Not exactly, but you get the point. Toxic thoughts, toxic words. You know, our society and our world and even the church, we are constantly permeated with toxic words and toxic thoughts. You know, in the scripture here, it says, let no unwholesome, let no corrupt communication. One of the things that amazed me this week is I've just been studying the writings of Paul, and I am continually amazed at that man. Things did not go his way. I mean, he wears like a badge of honor the bad things that happened to him. It just amazes me, though, it did not thwart him or stop him in his ministry. You know, the Bible says, it says in Ephesians that he was given the task of being of administrating the grace of God. You know, we get sort of worked up about administration, don't we? We like it when things are in order and how they ought to be, and we get pretty caught up with administration in the church, making sure all our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted. But do we give that same kind of attention and that same kind of attention to detail to the administration of God's grace? And the Apostle Paul was incredible. He constantly administered God's grace, regardless of his circumstances, regardless of the setting he found himself in, regardless of who he was. He wasn't one way around the elders and the church people and one way with the Gentiles. He was the way he was. He was an administrator of God's grace, and he was able to speak words of life and healing and encouragement regardless of where he found himself, whether he was shipwrecked, whether he was on a desert island, whether he had just been bitten by a serpent. No matter what happened, he administered the grace of God. And that's my challenge to you this morning, church. Would you take the same kind of care and thought to you do it to the administration of your daily life and the work of the church and the organization in the church? Would you take that same kind of care and compassion and attention to detail to being a minister of God's grace to others? And how do we do that? The primary way we do that is through our words, through what we say, through what we speak. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Do you know, it one of the things that God revealed to me this week, well, not revealed, but just made clear to me, is that I am a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. Now, there's a difference, isn't there? I'm a soul. I'm an eternal being, and so are each one of you. Whether you know Jesus this morning or not, you're an eternal soul. The Bible says that Jesus is the lover of our soul. He loves the eternal part of us, the part of us that will be in eternity with him or not. That's the part that he loves. That's what he invests in. Now, he cares about this. He cares about my flesh, and we're seeing that in the healing of Austin's hand and the healing of Ken's body and things like that. We see that he cares. But he's primarily concerned with our souls. And I'll tell you what, church, the thing that destroys the soul more than anything are toxic thoughts and toxic words, things that tear down and destroy. The Bible says that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. How often do we buy into that, to accuse our brothers and sisters and do the work of the enemy? Now listen, I'm not saying that there are not times when the God gives a hard word to deliver to a brother or a sister. In fact, I have failed as a pastor in doing that, and I need your prayers to be able to do that effectively and gently and lovingly. In fact, we looked at that last week when we looked at the qualifications and the responsibilities of an elder and pastors to correct, to rebuke with gentleness and kindness. There's never a reason to be unkind. So I'm not saying that you never say a hard word or give a hard word, because we have that responsibility in the church. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." You know, when I get my first watermelon or tomato of the year, it's a highlight. That's a highlight of my summer, to get that first watermelon or tomato. And I'll tell you what, the Japanese beetles are eating me up this year, and I'm not happy about it. But you know what? God bless my wife. She goes out and speaks God's authority over our garden and over our chickens. Hawks were taking my chickens, and the Japanese beetles are eating my garden up. But hey, anyway, it's just hard to imagine that a tomato, a fresh tomato out of the garden and a watermelon could taste any better. But boy, if you sprinkle just a little bit of salt on it, brings out that flavor, doesn't it? It enhances that flavor. Now, you don't dip it in the salt. You don't pour a bag on it. You know, again, you've heard me say this before, but I got to say this again. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that we are to raise up a standard of righteousness in the world. Only in the church. God calls the church to be holy. Now, does that mean we don't let our holiness spill out on the world? By the grace of God, by the mercy? Yes, yes. Does that mean we don't share truth with the world? No. But we are not to raise up a standard of righteousness in the world. We're to be salt and light. We're not to assault the world. We're to be the salt of the world. Just a little bit brings out that flavor, doesn't it? And that's what we're supposed to do as believers. Put away falsehood, lies, untruth. Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. You know, I'm amazed as I look back on my walk with Jesus how I have failed to guard my heart. You know, Jesus said, out of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I look back at times where I've said things or I've done things that have shamed Jesus, then obviously I haven't guarded my heart, and my heart hasn't been protected from the influences and thoughts of the enemy, because that has spilled out on people, and it's toxic. It's toxic. It's like acid. It destroys. It burns. So church, learn to guard your heart. Learn to guard your heart from the attacks and the untruth of the enemy. Now that's how I've set things up this morning. But I have three points that I want to encourage you with this morning. And these are steps that we need to take to get these truths solidly in our heart and our mind. The first thing we're to do is we are to align our words and our thoughts with His truth. Now listen to this. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every lofty opinion that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Man, does that land on you like it landed on me this morning? What does that mean? First of all, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, I see the church engaging in carnal warfare all the time. All the time. And one of the way we do that is we spew out ugly words on each other and to each other. God forgive us. That is carnal warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. The Bible's saying that we have divine power through the Spirit of God to demolish these strongholds. Anytime we allow bad thinking what we think correctly to the wrong conclusion, we allow the enemy to build these strongholds in our lives. And then the enemy can foray out into other areas of our lives and cause death and destruction. When there's strongholds in our lives, the Bible is saying that it's divine power, that it's a work of the Spirit. It's not a work of flesh. And that's why so many Christians get eaten up. That's why I failed in this area so miserably, is because I try to fight my battles with carnal weapons. And I fail. Church, don't do that. Allow the Holy Spirit to equip you to fight a spiritual battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We have divine power through the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to resort to slinging toxic words and allowing toxic thoughts to erode the way we think. You know, the Apostle Paul said again and again and again in his ministry that it was a battle for the mind. Now, what does it look like to take every thought obedient? Man, how do you do that? How do you do that? When a thought comes, we test it. We try it with the Word of God. Now, you have to be deliberate about this, don't you? You see, if the Word of God doesn't permeate your life and your mind and your thought and your emotions and your heart, if you don't have a, you know, it's sort of like the way my gas tank was when I was in college. It was always right on E. I never had any reserves. So I always had to go to the gas station if I wanted to go anywhere. We never have any reserves. And that's the way we are as Christians. We never have any reserves. And then the enemy comes with us with a thought. He presents evil to us. The presentation of evil is not sin. That's temptation. And we need to have those reserves built up. We need to have the Spirit of God moving in our lives. We need to have the Word of God right on our tongue and right in our mind, so when those thoughts come, we can combat them with the Word of God and with the power of the Holy Spirit and not with carnal weapons. The thing that I do, there are often, isn't it amazing how quick a thought can go from here to here? I'll be thinking about one thing the next minute. How did I get there? And I know I don't want to be there. And so I do. I say, Lord, Jesus, this thought has to bend its knee to your obedience. And church, I want you to know that that has never failed me. When I have the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of mind to present that thought to the obedience of Jesus and ask and say, declare that it has to bend its knee to his obedience, he never fails. He never fails. It's vital that we do that. We demolish arguments and every lofty opinion that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You know, that's culture. That's the world. That's what the world is doing today. And that's what the enemy wants the world and culture to do. It sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It's continually trying to tell us that what we believe is foolishness. You know, spiritual growth and maturity is replacing the lies of the enemy and the lies of this world and our culture with the truth of God. That's what spiritual growth and maturity is. Now get this. Two things. We cannot control what others say about us, but we can control what we believe. We can't control what others say, can we? We'll never do it. We have no control over others. I've learned that the hard way. But we can control what we believe. Man, if somebody says something that we know is not true, that we weigh against the Word of God, that we balance with the Word of God, then get rid of it. It's not truth. And I'm not saying that there aren't times when there is hard truth that God allows other people to bring our way. I'm thankful for that. It's called accountability, and each of us should be in a relationship where we have that or we're going to miss it. And we can control what we say. Church, I want you to make a commitment this morning. Thinking it and saying it are two different things, aren't they? But you know what? If we get in practice of not saying those things that we always think, maybe God will change the way we think. You see, I'm never going to see things from my wife's perspective. I'm never going to see things from other people's perspective because it's their perspective. I'm never going to understand it like they do, but I can see them through God's lenses. I can stamp eternity on my eyes through the Word of God and through the working of the Holy Spirit and see people through those lenses, right? I can do that, and that can help me understand where my wife is coming from and where other people are coming from. That's what we are required to do, so we can control what we say. Let's make a commitment. If we think something that we know is going to be damaging before it's out there doing damage, man, let's crucify it. Let's make a commitment to each other and to God not to allow damaging words. Man, it takes so long to get to build, take that ground back, doesn't it? Husbands, wives, you know that. Husbands that say things that tear down their wives. Wives that criticize their husbands in public. There's no place for that. no place for that in the body of Christ and in our marriages and in our relationships. So let's align our words and our thoughts with the truth of God. Let's believe what God has said about us and over us. The second thing, speak life-giving words according to His truth. You see, I believe there's power in the spoken word. There's power in a word of blessing. There's power in a word of prophecy. Speaking truth into others' lives. And one thing I do know, I'm learning about the gift of prophecy. I'm learning about that and the power in that in speaking truth and correction and discipline and encouragement into people's lives. But the one thing that God has told me is this, that I will never be able to speak truth and healing effectively into the lives of others, into the lives of the church, until I believe what God has said about me. You will never be able to do that. You'll never be fully effective in your ministry to others until you believe what God has said about you and over you. And God speaks love and peace and healing over His people. Man, I never remember the Matt Maher concert. I'd never heard that song before. You sing over your children. Have you heard that song by Matt Maher? Lord, you sing over your children. Man, I listen to that song almost daily just to get some healing in my heart and my emotions, to know that God sings truth over me every day, that He loves me. There's nothing I can do to make Him love me more or less. It doesn't matter what I do or say. Now, there are consequences when I do and say things that are not pleasing to Him, but it doesn't change how He feels about me, how much He loves me. It doesn't change my standing in Jesus Christ. God sings over each one of us with love. Man, get that song and listen to it. Hey, how many of you were at the concert at the fair? Now, wasn't that awesome? I don't know if I looked at the stage more, if I just turned around and looked at 7,500 people worshiping Jesus at the Delaware State Fair. Now that was a shot in my arm. I want you to know that was awesome. I noticed that, you know, a few of our people there getting into worship a little more there at the fair than they sort of do here at church. I don't know why that was, but Bees back there tells me it's just different. Well, I understand, Bees, but it's not. It's not different. We're in the presence of God here. And if we feel led to worship, however you work that out, whether it's sitting there or whatever it may be. So speak life-giving words according to His truth. You know, that's all I could think about during that concert, is those words of truth. Man, Casting Crowns has just incredible truth in their lyrics, and that was going out over the state fair. Man, what power. That's good stuff, right? Come on, man. Hey, let's give a hand to God and to Wendy Davis. Right on, Wendy. The power of the spoken word. Our speech, our words should first of all edify and encourage. Secondly, they should be appropriate. And thirdly, they should be gracious. Listen, church, let's make a commitment to say no to exaggeration, fabrication, foolish promises, false excuses, betraying a confidence, gossip. Let's make a point to say no to those things. The Bible is pretty clear the destruction and deception and hurt that they bring. Let's say no to that this morning as the body of Christ. Amen? Let's speak life and truth into people's lives. Healing, goodness. Thirdly, and I believe most importantly, is this. We need to learn, church, to speak life-giving words to ourselves and our circumstances. Our circumstances aren't always going to be what we want, are they? Isn't it amazing how the enemy bombards us with, you know, that, how many of you read that little book, You've Been Tweaked? Andy Wright passed that around to some of us, and I encourage you to get it. The enemy is right there to tweak our thoughts all the time. And this is a great little book, short, easy read, to know how the enemy manipulates. He's a manipulator. He's a liar. Don't let him do that. Speak life-giving words to yourself. You know, I think of the time when Jesus had that hard teaching in John chapter 6, and He said to all the disciples that had gathered around after the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus said, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you have no place with Me. Now, dude, saying that to a Jew was heavy. And the Bible says many deserted Him. And Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, are you too going to desert me? And Peter, man, good old Peter, jumped right out there with it. He said, Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of life. Church, you're not going to find words of life in the theater, on TV. And you know, hey, listen, you know me. I'm not a thou shalt not do this and that. But if that is your staple, you ain't getting it. The word of God has to be your staple. That has to be your default setting. And unless you're permeating your lives in that, you'll never know how to speak life-giving words to yourself. You know, many of you know Jeremy Yoder. He's like a brother to me, and you know some of the struggles he went through a few years ago. Man, that guy is off his medicine. He is doing incredibly, leading a church over in inner city Baltimore. And they were at our house here just recently, and he just challenged me to spend time with God, to go on walks by myself and speak truth into my life, speak what God has spoken about me into my life. And I'm telling you what, it's incredible what the word of God spoken into our own lives can do for us and how it can change the way we think and even our circumstances. You know, I could see yesterday in the hospital room, Austin, bless his heart, you could just see him, he was depressed and rightly so. Why, Lord? Why? You know, I don't know what was going through his mind, but I could almost read it on his face, and it broke my heart. But I also know that Austin knows that God is faithful and good. And we need to continue to speak that into his life as him and Megan walk through this. So even in our circumstances, when our circumstances and our experience doesn't meet up to what God's word says, God's word is always right, church. It's always right. You know, I think of David as he went up against Goliath. You know, for what, weeks? Goliath stood out there and challenged the armies of God and basically berated them. And David came along and said, What's up with this guy? And they were going, well, he's too big to defeat. And David took a look at him and said, he's too big to miss. Get me some stones. Perspective, church. And what did he do? He didn't run out there with his sling and his stone and his prowess. He went out there and said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God, the Lord God of hosts. How dare you defy the Lord God? Every lofty opinion that sets itself up against the knowledge and power of God. You see, David came up against him with that power, that divine power that each one of us has. You know, in Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and you have faith, it'll be done. Now, if you want to correct me later, great. I don't really think Jesus was talking about a physical mountain. Now, if Jesus wanted to throw a physical mountain into the sea, he could do it. But church, we have mountains in our lives all the time. There are mountains in front of us all the time. Are we gonna just sit down and say, well, we're not going any further because there's a mountain in my way? Are we going to allow God to forge a path either around or over or through or have him remove it completely? Are we going to allow him to do that? Because I believe he can. Amen? You know, I think it's so key, fathers and husbands, it's so key that you get this. It's so key that the leaders of this church get this. Because if we don't have it right, if us fathers and husbands don't have it right, the destruction will be terrible. You know, my wife said I could share this, but there are times that she said that I can, and these are her words, and it grieves me, that I can slay her with just a word, and it'll take her weeks to get over it. And it's not that I set out to dismantle my wife in that manner. I love my wife. I can say things to my children because my reserves are low. It's so important that we get this. It's so important that we learn to speak life-giving words to ourselves, our families, our children, our circumstances. Church, I'm asking you this morning. I'm asking you. If you have allowed the enemy to permeate your thinking with his lies and his untruth. I'm asking you this morning to repent. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up this morning. I'm feeling like God is leading us into a time of repentance this morning, a time of ministering to one another. Church, I still struggle with things that my stepfather said to me years ago. Those things, the enemy will play those things to me like a video player. And it'll reduce me to what God says I am not. And this morning, as you stand together with me, I'm asking you this morning, I'm pleading with you, if you have bought in to the lies of the enemy, if you have bought in to untruth, if you have been a part of speaking toxic words and lies into the lives of the people you love, I'm asking you to repent this morning. I'm asking you to come forward and let people speak truth and blessing into your life. Let people speak healing over your life. And let God sing over your life. Let Him sing to you His truth. Church, we need so desperately to align our words and our thoughts with His truth, the Word of God, to speak life-giving words according to His truth, the Word of God, the healing and prayers of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be able to speak truth to ourselves and our circumstances. So as the worship team leads us this morning, I invite you to come forward. I'm going to invite Dennis up to lead us in our prayer time. May the Lord bless His word, and I pray that it falls on good ground this morning. God bless you. I love you.